Does this song?
Does this song, Isaiah 25, thy counsels of old, O Lord, thou art my God.
Exalt you, O Lord, in hope of your glory. We thank
thank you for your Son, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of power that has been given unto us. Lord God, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We receive understanding.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
We receive inspiration.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
We receive clear heaven.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
We heed to the call that has said, come up hither. Therefore, O Lord, grant us great help.
Amen.
Grant us great speed.
Amen.
And establish us. Father, we just bless you. Let us lift up our hands and just bless the name of the Lord. God is good all the time. He has put a song of praise in our hearts. God has done wonderful things. Wonderful things. And the beautiful thing about it is that his counsels of old, they are faithful and they are true.
Alright.
That is the most assuring thing that we can ever have. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How many of us are excited?
I am.
It is wonderful to be living at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we will just be looking into a meditation. And we'll just trust God for help. we can title it very simply the perfection of our faith. Seven indicator blocks to confirm the great hope. The perfection of our faith. Column, seven indicator blocks to confirm the great hope. And we would seek, by the grace of God, to establish certain things. We would see what we have been given, what we have been given as people of God. You know, we will see what we have been given, and then we will see what we have been called to, and the reason of that is for us to begin to fine-tune our bearing and conduct. See what we have been given, see what we have been called to, so that, you know, it's important, so that we can begin to fine-tune our bearing and our conduct. And we will trust the streams of inspiration to take us as it wills. You see, when this is established, it will enable us to best position ourselves to be sure candidates of the great apprehension. When we know what we've been given, we know who we are, we know what we have been called to, it enables us to be best position ourselves to be sure candidates of the great apprehension.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 before we go in. And this meditation will be in two parts, and we will just it will be necessary to just touch on some things for it to be clear, so that we can now go forward. It says okay, I'll read from Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, I'll take it from verse 10. For us to be great, to be sure candidates of the great apprehension. Philippians chapter 3. Can somebody give a mic to my friend over there? You know, Gula. Philippians chapter 3, from verse 10. I would read, but if I wanted to read, I would tell you, because we would look at some scriptures. So just, amen.
Amen.
It says, that I may know him, let's follow, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, the things in verse 10, you know, are very important for us to note, because the things in verse 10 are necessary for the experiencing of the thing in verse 11. Is that clear? So, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What is the power of his resurrection? In simply put, you know, I can say the power of his resurrection is the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Bible says that if that same Spirit that brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us, that same Spirit that brought again Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in us. Amen. So, the power of his resurrection is something that we ought to know at this time. And the fellowship of his sufferings, number two, being made conformable unto his death. And then 11, he now says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So, that means that the resurrection of the dead, you know, it set it as something ahead, as a goal. Amen? But for us to make it necessary to attain this, we must give ourselves to the things in verse 10. The power of his resurrection has been made available. Jesus Christ is the fountain of the Holy Spirit. And without his resurrection, the Holy Spirit could not have been released. The Spirit of power could not have been released unto the church. Amen? So, on account of his death and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was released unto us. That is, and then the realities of the Holy Spirit makes sure realities in our lives, you know, gives us license to be able to walk, you know, in victory, to be able to walk in power. Amen. Now, I'll just carry on like that. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. These are things that we must begin to, that we must give ourselves to at this time actively. The fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus Christ has suffered once, you know, for all. But as we take advantage of the victory that he has won. Now, the old man has been destroyed, has been crucified. You know, the old man is completely dead. So what the death and resurrection of Jesus has done is that before, we were all slaves, you know, to the old man. And we had no will of our own. So we were slaves, we were under bondage. But on account of the death and resurrection of Jesus, he has given a blow to the old man. Jesus said, you cannot enter a house and begin to spoil a man's goods without first binding the strong man. So that has been done. So what has been done for us is that license to kill has been given to us. That means, that is why Paul calls it a good fight. It's a good fight because the enemy has been decimated. And all we have to do is execute the judgment written. And in doing that, we are partaking in the fellowship of his sufferings. Why? Because we are experiencing a constant denial. There is now strength in us. So we can begin to deny, to hate the evil and choose the good. Amen. So let us understand that so that there's no confusion. You know, one can say, oh, the old man has been destroyed. So the moment I say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior, finish. I do not need to do anything again. The old man has been destroyed. You know, no, it's not the case. Let us be properly educated and guided.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit, you know, in us, gives us the, has strength. Our new man has been brought forth and has given us the strength and the ability to choose right. God is in the business of passing us through walls, you know, through dealings, through training because of the great apprehension. Amen. Because of what we are gunning for. The Lord said to Israel, he said, I will not just take away the nations away just like that. Look, he said, but I will remove them little by little as Israel chooses to heed the commandments of God. God says, I will thrust the nations out before you and say what? Destroy them. He wouldn't be telling you destroy them, you know, when the power has, you know, has not been given to you. So because we are creatures of choice, God does not compel. Man is a creation of choice. So we have to choose. Just as Jesus did, he said, thou loved righteousness and what? And hated wickedness. So as we take advantage of the power of his resurrection. So he called it knowing. I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Through knowledge, you know, we know the things that has been given unto us on account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by it, we can be sure partakers of the fellowship of his suffering. When Joshua entered the promised land with Israel, there were 31 slayings. That is a meat we eat at another time. You can call that one the 31 slayings of Joshua. He slew 31 kings. And the Lord said that he allowed the people to go that way so that they might know the wars of Canaan. Praise the name of the Lord. And then he says, and be made conformable unto his death. And that is what we call death to self. It's necessary to explain this so that we are not confused. Praise the name of the Lord. So be made conformable unto his death. As we are conformed through the fellowship of his sufferings, through constant denial, you know, what are we denying? The pulls, you know, or the temptations that is in this corrupt world, you know, and of the flesh. Through that denial and choosing right, we are being made conformed unto his death. And when you are conformed and one with his death, you know, you are actually alive in Christ. Jesus went through this. He said that he was led to the wilderness to be 40 days tempted of the devil. You know, that was a period of manifold temptation. And after it, it was testified of the Lord. He said that he went, you know, in what? In the power of the Spirit. So your spirit becomes alive unto God and you become dead, you know, to the pulls or to the temptations of this world. Praise the name of the Lord. So that is very, very necessary. So as we give ourselves to these things, the power of his resurrection, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto what? The resurrection of the dead. That we will touch briefly. Not as though I had already attained. This is a full-blown minister talking. But a Paul. So that we avoid confusion. Not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect. But I follow after that I might apprehend. That's what we call the great apprehension. That's what I'm calling the great apprehension. The word there, apprehend, is katalambano, which means to lay hold of. That I might lay hold. That for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The one for apprehended too of Christ Jesus is katalambano. So know assuredly today that Jesus Christ has laid hold of you. Praise the name of the Lord. And he said that, and I apprehend what I have been apprehended for. So what have we been apprehended for? We must know. Today, we began to talk about it when Baruchi was asking, okay, what is your hope? What is your hope? What is your hope? He says that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended for. Without the vision, the people perish. So we ought to have a bearing. We ought to know where we are going to, what the call is, and the things that has been reserved for us. It says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He called it the prize. Hallelujah. He called it the prize. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. So, now, in this meditation, we are just going to take an anchor scripture in 2 Peter. So, 2 Peter is going to be our anchor scripture, and then we will trust God to go into other things. I'm thinking we should just read the 2 Peter and then, you know, just read it so we can have, you know, like a preamble, you know, like an abstract. So we just read it and then we will now go and take it one by one. So, Sister Beulah, please, just take us from 2 Peter from chapter 1. Amen.
2 Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto
you. Let's follow Kelly.
Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Hallelujah.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you. Amen. All right. Let us dig into this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we'll take it verse by verse. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We are going to stop there and draw out something. To them that have obtained, the word there obtained is lakchano. Please let us be active. Check it. The word there is lakchano, which is to say to receive an allotment. So, you know, to receive something by lot. And we know when we talk about something by lot, first of all, it speaks of a land. To receive by an allotment, you know, and it is legally binding. So it says that we have obtained like precious faith. Peter is saying that we have obtained the same faith that the Lord Jesus Christ handed down over to us. We all have obtained by an allotment. That in itself, you know, is pointing to something prophetical. He said we have received by lot. The same faith handed down by Jesus Christ. So it is an allotment, a portion, a right given legally to each and every one of us. So when you talk about the faith that you have received, that means you have a portion in Jehovah. And it has been given to everyone. When Israel came into the promised land, Joshua divided the land by lot to each tribe. So everyone has received an allotment from the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been legally given. Therefore, nothing, you know, should be able to cheat you out of it. It is a land, a parcel that has been given to everyone. So that is something we should note. That this faith, so when a land has been put under your care, you know, what do you do with it? How do you take care, you know, of that land? So we can begin now to look at ourselves, at this faith that we have received, you know, as a portion from Jehovah. Is it, speaking of one of them, is it Dan? You know, it said, for there in a portion of the Lord giver, was there a place found for him? So the Lord, so that song, you know, even though it doesn't mean what it means, but in this song, it said, the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. Amen. So, but now, let us note this very carefully, that this portion, this land that has been given, you know, the Lord has given it to us for a possession, and the Lord also is seeking to inherit this portion. Praise the name of the Lord. He goes on to say that it was given, still on verse 1, he goes on to say that it was given through the justice of God. The righteousness of God means the justice of God and our Savior, Christ Jesus. So, legally allotted to every one of us by the righteousness of God means by the discretion of God, by the judgment of God, by the determination, you know, his determinate counsel and foreknowledge. So when a judge makes a ruling, you know, you can say it's done by discretion or by determination. If we had some of our sister Angela, yes, you know, who is in the legal field. Oh, aunt, we have aunt here. Who is in the legal field, you know? So when the judge or a judge or the court makes a determination. So this land has been given to us by through the righteousness. That word righteousness also speaks of justice. That shows you how legally binding it is. So know this within you. You know that you have a portion in Jehovah. You have been given by an allotment, a place in the Holy Land. And nothing can cheat you out of it. Amen. The only thing that can cheat you out of it is yourself. Mm-hmm. Nothing can cheat you out of it. And that's what the enemy does. He tries to chase us out of the land. Knowing that you are a land also has some implications. The Lord said to Israel, he said that if you defile this land, it will spew you out. And you can understand the concept of death, starting from spiritual death. When your land, the portion that the Lord has given, is defiled, spiritual death, even down to the physical death, it spews you out of the land. So this land is the temple of the living God. You and I, the faith that we have received. So that, you know, it's not, oh, what faith are you? I'm Muslim. I'm Islam faith. I'm this. No. It has been given by allotment, like channel. By a lot has been given unto each and every one of us. And there are various implications to that. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says that we must earnestly do what? Contend for the faith. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. Epagonizome. That word for contend. To contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So you got to contend for your land.
That's it.
And when certain things are made clear, you know, the Lord will grant us much more zeal and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Earnestly contend for the faith. You must also know that the Lord himself is fully committed to this allotment.
Oh, glory.
The Lord himself is fully committed to your land, to you. Now, when we are not talking about your land, look at it as you. You know, your temple, your spirit, soul, and body. The Lord is very committed to it. And he has promised to water it every moment. Isaiah chapter 27. Look at Isaiah chapter 27, verse 3. The Lord is fully invested. He said the kingdom of God, one of the ways he likened it is like finding a treasure in a piece of land. And you go and sell all you have to obtain that possession. He says, I, the Lord, do keep it. You know, I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. The keeper of Israel, who never sleeps nor slumber, he watches over us. He knows all the ways that we go. He knows all the struggles, all the highs, all the lows. But as long as we have a heart firmly set on the hope and firmly determined to apprehend that which we have been apprehended for, Jehovah himself shall keep it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
One of his glorious names, as we come to know him, one of his glorious names is Jehovah Iyi Shadama. Jehovah Jogosh. That is the great gardener of Israel. Glory. He says, I am the vine. My father is the husbandman. Iyi Shadama. The gardener of Israel. I will come, they check the leaf, I will prune it, I will remove the wheat. I am Jehovah Iyi Shadama. Jehovah Jogosh, the keeper of Israel, the gardener of Israel, the gardener of this land, Jehovah will keep it. Amen. Psalm 16 verse 5 says that God is the portion of my inheritance. He maintains my what?
My lot.
That which has been given. Look, that is very important for us to know. A place in Jehovah's kingdom has been given to you. That's what you call the faith. When you talk about keeping the faith, he says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Jehovah is the maintainer of my lot. In Nigeria, I mean, sorry, no offense, but women sometimes in Nigeria say maintenance money. But maintain, or even from here, you say, oh, my maintenance, sustenance. But we must know this, that the Lord is the one who maintains our lot. And this lot, again, emphasizing, is a legal word. It's an allotment given by right. And, I mean, look at in Acts chapter 13, verse 19, they were talking, citing example of what happened in Judges when the children of Israel entered the promised land, you know. And he said, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. So that was a prophetic speaking, you know, a portion for everyone in Israel, including spiritual Israel. A portion has been given for everyone. Establishing some things. And of course, Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9 says, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So, the Lord seeks to inherit this land. Amen. So, we'll go on. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. His divine power, even that same power that brought again our Lord Jesus from the dead. Now, his divine power is very powerful, you know, in a sense. His divine power. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This divine power has given us all things that pertain to life, Zoe. Number one, life. Which means the life here being animate, of which we will expand as we go on. But all things that pertain to life, that his divine power has made have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, isubia, which means reverence, piety, dutiful, devout. So, an earnest desire to fulfill the obligations of the faith. So, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life. To that life, I'm restraining myself to go into it because we'll touch it more. But all things that pertain to life. Talking about Zoe, we can look at it as the very life of God. Reigning in life, full glory, and godliness, ability to be devout. The Bible recorded of Cornelius that he was a devout man. The divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, of God, has given us all things that enables us to come into life and live in godliness. And that power we can't overstretch. As we said, the same power, if the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, let's just read that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. So according to that same mighty power, you know, that set up our Lord Jesus Christ, he says that power has been made available to us through the Holy Ghost and has given, and in it contains, has given us all the necessary apparatus to attain unto life and godliness. Of course, this is wrought through knowledge of him who has called us and ordained us unto glory and virtue. He says, unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. The word glory there is doxa, you know, which speaks of fullness, splendor. So, let us also notice that we have been called unto glory and virtue. Fullness, doxa, virtue speaks of excellence. These things we will touch more as we go on. But for now, let's just, read on. Verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whereby has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises, that we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the exceeding great and precious promises have the capacity to work in us the divine nature. And it is necessary, you know, for us to have an idea of these things. The exceeding great and precious promises, you know, are needed to produce the exceeding magnificent house that will do exceeding magnificent things. If you look at, just to give a context to what I just said, if you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we'll just take a scripture from that and see where we are. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, sorry, verse 5. It says, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. That is speaking of you and I. The house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, you know, of fame and of glory. He said, as Paul unto glory and virtue throughout all countries. He says, I will therefore make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. So the exceeding great and precious promises, you know, will produce that exceeding magnificent house of us. And this house is to be set, you know, for fame and glory throughout all the whole earth. That is the destiny of you and I. The exceeding great and precious promises have the capacity, as I said, of ministering to us the nature of Christ, that is the divine nature, and they shall be encoded in us and alter our DNA, patterning it after Jehovah. So it says that this exceeding great and precious promises will make us to be able to be partakers of the divine nature. You know, so by God's grace, we will just talk. We cannot enter, you know, to be honest, into what the exceeding great and precious promises are in details, lest we would be here till at least, you know, till July or something. But we will just touch on it for us to have an idea, you know, of things. These exceeding great and precious promises will alter everything about us. Remember, it is to produce in us the divine nature. Nature is a basic, it's an inherent instinct in a person. So these things are stronger than any COVID-19 DNA altering vaccine. This one, when it enters you, it totally reorders you. It totally reorders everything about you, producing in you the divine nature. And this is very, very key. You know, for this, you know, there has to be, you know, as I, you know, just, you know, basically, as I just jokingly, you know, put it, there has to be a collision, you know, of the seventh day and the sixth day. The collision of the seventh day and the sixth day, you know, it will produce a total annihilation of any ethnic, social, religious, biological nature that is in us. The seventh day is the day of the Lord, you know, and the sixth day is the day of man. John in Revelation, you know, said that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know, the day, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. A person's day means that on that day, that person is the center of all attention. And we can bring for that seventh day now. You can say, Lord, I suspend my day and have your day. You know, where we give ourselves wholly to the love of the Father and to the keeping of his commandments. Amen. So a collision of that seventh day and the sixth day brings a complete and a total annihilation. A total annihilation of any ethnic, you know, somebody, say for example, can be, you know, in Christ. And no matter how much he wants to profess Christ, he is still an Igbo man. He's still an Igbo man. And the Igbo nature is still working in him. No matter how he wants to, you say, ah, Yoruba people, you know, they are like this. That's what they say. You know, he's still working. But as we begin to partake of these promises, it says that it will basically eradicate any nature in us, whether it's religious, whether it's biological, that is passed down through lineage, whatever, is totally eradicated. And the basic instinct, you know, of Jehovah is imprinted in us. The beginning of the portal to journey into this seven-day call is the keeping of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, which is his love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So for us to begin to, so say for example now, one can say, how do we bring that 7-day experience now? Is as we begin to give ourselves wholly to the love of the Father. And trust me, once you begin, like the prayer that came that said, awaken my heart to know your love. Once we begin to give ourselves to the love of the Lord, you know, we will keep his commandments effortlessly. Praise the name of the Lord. So, this is holy tantamount in the giving up of our day. Now, one thing that we must know is that the exceeding great and precious promises we are talking about are not things that we're giving, you know, say, for example, on Pentecost. So, it's not like healing. As for healing, we have been promised it and we have seen it. Now, remember, Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, came back again. He met John on the Isle of Patmos and began to tell him certain things. So these are things that we are looking onto. And as is common with all the promises of God, some of these things, portions of it are made available to us now to begin to work on it as we journey into the fullness of it. So the exceeding great and precious promises are things that we are looking onto, although we begin to enjoy them now, you know, in measures and in portions. But this is very important to be able to set our hope aright and for us to also understand the need for us to begin to add certain things to our faith. Praise the name of the Lord. So these promises are adequately addressed by Jesus in his message, you know, in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Those are the exceeding great and precious promises. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. So, okay, is the projector on? So, now, we will not be able to go into them, you know, in detail. But we will just skim through it and just take some points, you know, to make certain things clear. Is it good now?
I think it's right.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine. We'll just go without it. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it says that. Okay. Since I don't have it now, just me. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this we might be partakers. By these promises, we might be partakers of his divine nature. And that is where we are heading to. You know, that is what we are gunning for. And when these things are made clear unto us, we would understand the need for us to give ourselves to certain things, to certain conducts. You know, we would understand our bearing. Praise God. Now, the exceeding great and precious promises, they are the subject matter that are considered, that are addressed by Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And these are very, very necessary for us to understand. So, we'll just dive in there and just skim through it. And the reason why we are skimming through it is just for us to have, you know, an understanding of it so that we can better appreciate as we go on. Praise God. So, we'll go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, to properly address these things, we have to go in detail, which we cannot do. But we have to examine, number one, how Jesus Christ addressed himself to each of the churches, number one. You know, the things he pointed to strengthen, the things he commended, and then the message he had for them and the promise. Amen. But because we are not going in detail into it, we'll just go directly to the promise and just get something for us to have, an idea. If we go in detail, we will go, of course. Praise God. So we'll consider the first one, Revelation chapter 2. We'll just jump straight to it. To verse 7. Now, let us note this, that Jesus Christ was speaking to the churches. He was speaking to them as a body. But when he's coming to the promise, he's singling out individuals and he's saying to him that overcomes. So, this is very, very necessary for us to note. So, one cannot say, okay, because I am in this way, you know, I'm in Winnipeg House Fellowship, so therefore, no. So this is placing emphasis for us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It is not on that day, each and every one of us, not as a body, even though God is coming for a church, but we will stand as individuals before the throne of God. So that's just one thing to note. It is befitting to eat as him. So Jesus Christ comes to the angel of the church here at Ephesus, and he speaks, but he now says to him that overcomes. The word there, overcometh, is nikao, which simply means to conquer. To him that conquers. Okay, so we'll just examine that. The first one, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It says, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith towards the churches. To him that overcometh, to him that conquers, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Remember that these promises have the capacity to work in us the divine nature. What is the tree of life? First of all, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 shows us, it's one here, so we'll just go. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 shows us that the tree of life is in the midst of the garden. And Jesus said, in Revelation, he said, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In the very presence of God is the tree of life found. Genesis 2:9 says it's in the midst of the garden. And from Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, we see that if anyone eats of this tree of life, he will live forever. This is, remember, he talked about in 2 Peter, us being, he said, all that pertains unto life and godliness. And we will expand more, on it. But, okay, I will just finish, there is no this thing. Genesis chapter 3, just so we can see it. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. It says, and the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the tree of life, he that eats of it lives forever. And this will sound familiar unto us. Jesus came, and introduced himself as that bread, from heaven, which we will touch after. And if anyone eats of it, he lives forever. Now, the tree of life is guarded as man is cast out from the garden. So, and the things that protect that tree of life was a flaming sword and cherubims. Okay, so we can see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Let's just turn there. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. It says, so he drove out man, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is indeed a treasure that was hidden and kept from all men. And what was guarding it was cherubims and a flaming sword. So that would simply mean that anyone that goes that way to partake of the tree of life must pass through those processes. Must pass through the flaming sword, experience. So basically, must pass through the slaying, of the word of God, and burning. As to the matter of the cherubims, I cannot speak particularly of it. Praise God. So I mean, it's a matter I held on to God, for a time, basically doing. There were no answers. So, but basically, I cannot speak particularly of it. But the way to the tree of life was guarded by these things. Now, simply put, the tree of life is Jesus himself. Amen. Is Jesus Christ, given to us in his fullness. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18, describes wisdom as a tree of life. So, if you look at Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3:18. Now, okay, sorry, let me just this. Proverbs 3. Okay, so if you read from verse 13, you know, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So he's talking about wisdom. And we know that wisdom is one of the manifestations of Jesus Christ unto us. The Bible says that who of God, that Christ of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So wisdom is one of the four cardinal points of Christ's manifestation unto us. So when he's talking about, we say happy is them, say wisdom is crying, you know, in the street and so on and so forth. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. He says, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to them that do what, that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. So, wisdom is the tree of life. Speaking of Jesus there in Proverbs, he's saying that Jesus is that tree of life. And so, it's basically feasting of the tree of life. Now, remember, and the tree of life is where? It's in the midst of the paradise of God. That means to feast of it, you must be found there. Now, don't mistake this to just, okay, I know the Lord, and I'm, you know, just praise him, you know, here and there, in and out. But one must be found in the paradise of God. This is a totally devout, you know, closet relationship with him. You know, and he says, he that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Although it is a promise that has been given to us, but we can begin to partake of portions in it even now. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says that as we feast on these things, we live, we have eternal life. So this is one of the promises that is able to produce in us the divine nature. Praise the name of the Lord. Of course, again, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Hallelujah.
So as we begin to feast on the Lord, we begin to bear forth fruit. And this is in line, you know, with the promise of the Lord. Jesus said that as the Father has given, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son of Man to have what? Life in himself. When Auntie was speaking, she spoke about immortality. You know, ability, you know, to give life. You see, like the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. That simply means that you no longer depend on the oxygen in your nostrils to live. But you have life in yourself, and you can give life unto a thing. So it says, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And that is the goal. This is pointing to immortality, which we will touch on more. Brethren, we have been called to very great things.
Very great
things. We have been called to, and these exceeding great and precious promises, you know, they work in us, they make us sure candidates to be able to function in the call of God. Are we aware that we are going to be the ones to close up this age? When the Lord says, as a vesture, I will wrap them up. It is men that will wrap this heaven and throw them away and usher in the new age to come. There is a call that we have. And when we understand this, when we understand the blessed hope that is ahead of us, I tell you, no man would persuade us to live right. He says, let beloved, now with the sons of God, it does not appear what we shall be. But this we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And I said, let every man that has this hope begin to do what? Purify himself. So we need to understand where we are going.
Glory.
You need to understand the call, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that has been given unto us. This is a faith, this is a testimony that the people of the saints of, you know, of old held, they shook the, the word for it, and they were willing to die.
Yes.
Come on, you know, sometimes we read Hebrews chapter 11 so casually. It says some were sown asunder, some were stoned, who through faith did this, did that. The Isaiah that we sang, "Oh Lord, thou art my God," and everything, his word shook the heavens at that time.
Glory.
When Hebrews says some were sown asunder, that was Isaiah. By the order of King Manasseh, they took him. You know, saw that they used to cut somebody who hold one side and put him and sawn him asunder for the testimony he held. He said that some, they were even so tortured, but they did not accept deliverance for it. We read Timothy in a very, we just read it in our air conditioned room with a cup of cool coffee. Somebody was in prison under torture of Nero, that is Paul, one of the most wicked emperors that lived, under serious torture. You know what they did to Christians? Nero set Rome on fire and was dancing, and the city was burning. And he said, "It is the Christians that did it, and their leaders." And which of, at that time, Paul was there. Remember, Paul was sent. He told Agrippa that he would answer to Caesar. So he was there already at that time. He said it was the Christians. Do you know what they did to Christians? All manner of atrocities. The torches in the city were Christians. Human torches. They would get Christians, put them on the ground, and light them on fire. Human torches. That was the... So when Paul writes in that Timothy and says, "Endure affliction," he knows what he's talking about. When Paul writes and said, "I was delivered from the mouth of the lion," it's not spiritual. They would take them to Colossians and play sports. They call it game. But wild beasts would tear Christians in pieces to the pleasure of the crowd. Of the crowd. And they would laugh, "That is sport, that is game." And they put Paul there, but God with the lion. And God delivered him. He said, "But God delivered me from the mouth of the lion." That is why in that Timothy, just... You can just put it up now that it is on. Timothy, 1 Timothy. Is it 1 Timothy? Let me see. Is it 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy what? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Okay. You sure? Okay, yeah, I was delivered from the mouth of... Okay, if we go up, let me just see. You know, if we go up, Paul says in verse 6, he says, for "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know what that offered is? Poured out as a libation, as a drink offering. Is a violent death. It's like when you offer something as sacrifice, you slay it. That's what he meant. He knew the death that was awaiting him. And he said, "I am ready to be offered. And the time of my demise is at hand." Paul was killed violently for the testimony he held. And he said that they await for me a crown of life. Killed violently. Hebrews 11 says they were sown asunder, they were stoned, all manner of things. You know, were done to them. And he said that the Lord, you know, he said through faith that they obtained a good report, and that how did he put it? That we were
they without us
should not be made perfect, of which we will touch. But this testimony that we hold are things that men hazarded their lives in various ways for. And their eyes were clear. It was set on a hope. The Lord has called us unto mighty things.
Hallelujah.
I was watching a testimony, you know, of recent. The guy, he said he went to hell and to heaven. You know, at first I was looking at the guy that they said, I said, "This kind of person, did he just come out for hell?" He said he went to hell. Very looking. You know, do hair in one where he did hair, where he earrings. He said, "Bro, you know, bro, bro." I said, "Ah, this one saw hair." But anyway, but when he said in his visit to heaven, he said that she saw that what they were just doing, they were just standing and just looking at the Lord.
Which
is true because we are going to be in his presence. But I said to myself, I said, if it is that one also, if this was it, I don't know whether I would be too motivated to want to press on. Notice that the only thing that the lamp did was to open the seals. Every other activity was done by men.
Hallelujah.
But he called them angels.
Glory.
The only thing the lamp did was open the seal, come and see. Come and look. The seal is the counsel, the plan of God.
Hallelujah.
But the execution, the blowing of the trumpet, the vials, even the angel, can you imagine? A man stood, saw him that was on the throne, told him, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap." That was a man. The core, the what we are to do. Look, he says, if only in this life you have hope in God, in Christ, you have all the most miserable. It includes, if only in this life, your core, oh, just be holy. But you are a monk. Just, oh, be holy, you know, holy, holy. You will get tired. Look, if you are being begged to be holy, then you do not understand the call.
That's right.
You don't understand the call.
That's right.
Well, what we are going for, immortality, incorruptibility, to be able, you know, to do the work of God, to do what the Lord has reserved for you and I. The Lord has promised us a divine body,
yes,
a spiritual body. I personally believe that man was not made to be like this. That is originally. What do you mean? Little cold here. Look at you catch cold. You know, little things. This is personally. I don't want to say by revelation. Let me say personal. I believe that man originally is made with the capacity to take off to the heavens to fly. God said, "Have dominion over the things of the earth." So, even in heaven, and we are earthbound. Man has the capacity to go. If he wants to fly, he can. But I tell you, the spiritual body will work that in.
That's right.
Not the spiritual body is not spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came, he could eat. He ate fish. When he resurrected, he came with the spiritual, but he ate fish. He came with us walking through walls left and right and doing things. It's not spirit, but it is a spiritual body. We are called to so much more. To so much, it is incomprehensible.
That is it.
What the Lord has called us. And even in these exceeding great and precious promises, it begins to release some of them unto us. Revelation chapter 22, verse 2 says that on either side of the river is the tree. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there what? The tree of life. The river is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's that river that has been sent forth. It says, whithersoever that river flows, there shall be life.
Amen.
It produces life. It's that river that was issuing from the temple in Ezekiel. I said, and on the side of the river, it produces what? Trees. It says that ye might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. On either side of that river is trees of life, not grasses. Grasses are weak. That Isaiah addressed it in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, the grass withers, the flower fade. Why? The Spirit of the Lord just blew small air upon it. It says, surely, look at, the people are grass. But the Lord has called us to make us trees of right. These are mature sons who have feasted in the paradise of God. Go
in
there and feast on Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I think it has gone off again. It has gone off? Okay, yeah. No, back to that Revelation. Revelation 22, yeah. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side, this is the new Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
On either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit what? Every month. This was shown prophetically in the court of David. Remember, all David's mighty men had what they call the monthly provision. Everyone, every month, brought his provision to the house. These are men, these are high-ranking men. Oh, and this is where the Lord is bringing us to, as we feast in the tree of the tree of life. It is an exceeding great and precious promises and promise. We can begin to partake of it now, and we will yet receive the fullness of it.
Amen.
It says, and her leaves, the leaves of the trees were used for what? The healing of the nations. Praise the name of the Lord. This is purely true power. It's nothing physical we have can. Look, let me tell you, your money cannot heal the nations. Your money, if your money could heal the nations, do you know how many disciplined beasts are out there? Disciplined beasts, I mean people who are not saved, but are disciplined, philanthropists. Do you know how much Bill Gates' money would have healed it? If it's about money, do you know how much I've given to charity to get people off? It's not your money. It can't heal the nations. It's life. Look at Jesus when he came. His power is life. Feasting of that tree of life, the leaves of it will heal the nation. Every social ear. That's why you don't need to jump on any crazy bandwagon. You don't need to jump on every crazy bandwagon. You hear Black Lives Matter, you are moved by emotion and you jump. I'm a black person, Black Lives Matter. Feminism, you are moved. Oh, the oppression on women is so much. Oppression, oppression. There is wickedness. There is oppression against women. There is. But does it mean? So it is the people in Black Lives Matter or feminists who are Satanists.
Exactly.
That their leading is what you are moved by. Do you know who you are?
Exactly.
What do you mean? Feast of the tree of life.
Amen.
The leaf will heal that vice of oppression. It will heal it.
That's right.
We are carriers of life. We don't jump on any crazy bandwagon. We don't jump on any crazy idea. Get into the midst of the paradise of God and feast on it. He said to him that conquers, him that overcome every temptation. I've almost been overcome by the temptation of Black Lives Matter. When I watched the killing of George Floyd, I was angry. So how can you press this man's neck? How can you in the best part, I've carried black card and run into there. But I cannot be moved by that inspiration.
That's right.
By that, I can't just be moved like that. I have to go into, feast on Christ, stay in his presence. I tell you, he says, I will give him that. Okay, so I was saying, he that overcomes. So that longing to go and join, I had to deny it. Partake of his suffering, I overcome. He will give me the tree of life. He will give me himself in fullness.
Oh, yes.
This is an exceeding great and precious promise. It will produce that exceeding magnificent house.
Amen.
That is to be of fame and of glory.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Of fame. Great faith. These are exceeding precious promises that the Lord has promised unto each and every one of us.
Amen.
We need to know it. And we need to keep our eyes on it. Revelation chapter 22 verse 14. Lastly, we cannot go into this in detail. We will start a series that will take us to August. So let us touch it. So I have an idea of certain things. It says, blessed are they that do what? Do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life.
Glory.
I will just rephrase it and say, blessed are they that love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. They will not need to beg you. Oh, please, please, don't watch pornography. Don't now, please. Even if I tell you the temptation is heavy in that point, when your eye is on the hope, you would partake in the sufferings. He said, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Suffered the cross. Why? His eye was on the go. That was temptation. As he's moving towards Calvary, one little chekele man will just give him a dirty slap. Boom! He cannot be telling your elbow, the guy. You know, all manner of things, even while he was on the cross, if you are the Son of God, come down. All manner of things, he looked the joy that was set before him. I tell you, the joy, one of it is you and I in glory. You know, and the glory that he was to receive, the name higher than every other name. He didn't have the name higher than every other name yet. Until he overcomes. There was a joy set. I tell you, when a joy is set before you, when there's a vision set before you, there are so many things that just become easy.
That's it.
It begins to melt away because your eyes are steadfastly fixed. Even if you are, there are witnesses, you continue to look forward. It says, blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they may have a right. The word right there is exousia, authority to the tree of life. In the keeping of the commandments of God, bind it around you. Give yourself to be diligently eaters of the word of God. And don't joke with it. Faithfulness to his word. You have a right. So it's not just anybody that any Christian, the tree of life, receive. No, that's why, yes, it's not use the word overcome. It's to overcome us. So as long as I'm a Christian and you just take it lackadaisically, anyhow, and you want to partake the tree of life, no. You will not be condemned because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But there is the high calling of God. There is the price of the mark. There is the place, what I call it, is for first responders. First responder, we cannot say first fruit. Christ the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. You want to be there that are Christ at his coming?
No.
Oh. The people who are Christ the first fruit, they will rule over you. They will rule over you. It's as simple. When he says, I anointed him above his fellows. There is a call, brethren. It says, they might have right to the tree of life, and they might enter through the gates. That cherub, that flaming sword and cherubim, it will open. And men will enter and take of it. These things, the dark powers have sought it. The occults have sought it. The tree is one of a Masonic symbol, the tree of life. They have sought it. They have looked for the philosopher's stone. What is the elixir of life? It is in Jesus. It's in the, as we feel, faithfully committed unto him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Let's go quickly. We can't dwell much. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Thank God this is back to make it easier. It says, fear none of those things. We're entering the second one. There are seven of them. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Trust me, if we go into this, the way we should go into it, we'll have the context. But we are just skimming through so that we can move forward. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. And I will give thee what? A crown of life. Is that 11? He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A crown of life exempts you from being hurt of the second death. It is not as with constant feeding on the tree of life. You are crowned with the crown of life. And when we get, you know, there, we will take it and cast it before his throne.
Hallelujah.
It exempts. The first death is that which came through Adam. And everyone is going, everyone that is, you know, all in Adam all died. Now, Christ has revived us, right?
That's it.
The second death is, if you die again, not in Christ, is the second death. And it is also, it's also corruption taking hold, you know, of a person. You know, in a sense. Okay, well, let me go. Okay, so basically, corruption taking hold of a person just simply means that if you, how would I put it? It means someone who dies and decays away, you know, in a sense. But dying not having partaken of that glorious life promised is being hurt by the second death. But he said that, be that faithful unto death, and I will give you what? A crown of life. Paul spoke about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, but he called it a crown of righteousness. What did Paul know about the crown of righteousness? He wrote this about 28 years before John received this. He says, for I am now ready, we read this, to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Go on. He says, I have fought a good fight. Now, we must note these three things. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's take note of these things. I have fought. That's why he called it a good fight. A good fight. It's a fight of victory.
Hallelujah.
Any temptation that comes upon you, he says, well, sin abound, grace much more abound. It's a fight of victory because the enemy has been taken care of. But he called it a good. How can this be a good fight? Do you know the sufferings that this guy went through? And the Christians at that time? Thinking not it is only them. I tell you, by the Spirit of the Lord, we are in dark times. Darker times are coming.
That is so
some
true.
Of us are going to pay with our lives.
That is so
it may be a strong saying.
That
not
is
it.
True. That is so true.
Look, what the... Glory be to God. The Lord God help us.
Thank
the Lord told me, especially on the mission
thank
field,
Lord.
There are some places I went. Look, if a person is not, first, better stay out of mission. If you know it is not, if you have not solidified, you have not really solidified certain things. Because there are lands that we would enter, you know, that there would be persecution that would even endanger the lives of the people of God. And it will not be a death that, oh, maybe they slept. It's not death. It will not be a sleeping that they slept like it was a tragedy. You know, but they have laid down their lives for the Lord. Dark times are coming. And we must fortify ourselves. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have done what? Kept the faith. Go on. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to Anu, hallelujah, and to kindness, and to Nonso. Why? Because the love is appearing. Not only to me, but to all that love is appearing, who will be crowned with immortality. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Many.
The divine... Do you know what the divine nature is? Two expressions of the divine nature is divine life and divine body. The divine immortality will answer to the divine life. Incorruptibility will answer to the body. Expressions of it. Do you know what incorruptibility means? We'll just look at it at the end of as we finish this. Things, these promises. Should we go into it now? Hallelujah. Tell me if we should just touch it. Let's go on. Amen. Let's go on. We'll come back to it. But say, henceforth, the Lord shall give me what? A crown of life. A crown of life. James chapter 1, verse 12. I wonder sometimes what these guys knew about it. It means that the Lord, the Spirit of God is one, and they have been revealing it, you know, to them. Because James, this was written about 50 years before the Lord Jesus showed this to John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Remember, whenever we say love him, just put it also as keeping his command. If you love me, you will keep my commandments to the letter. You will not live double life. You have a social media, you know, output, a social media personality. Let them see your social media, you will not believe it's the same brother or sister that we see in church. Not that you are necessarily doing anything bad, but you just have an ungodly aura. An ungodly aura. It shows there's something not right. You don't have your eyes set on the crown of life. God is not mocked. It is to He that overcometh. The crown of life exempts you from the second death. Never to die again. Remember, one thing I said about life, Zoe, one meaning of it is to be animate. Because this is to people who say, who may think that we'll go to heaven, we'll just sit down in one place, you know, as moms. Animate. There'll be activities upon activity upon activity, glorious things that will be given unto us. It says, which the Lord has promised to all them that love Him. There is a blessedness in ascribed to a person who endures temptation. And we look all around, there are temptations all around us. All manner of things. A young man moving and, you know, you just meet a very flirtatious lady, or a flirtatious lady meets a flirtatious guy, and, you know, you begin to have some feelings here and there. It's temptation. Take a sledgehammer. Bite it away.
Glory.
It's a crown of life. Joseph knew what he was seeing now. Potiphar's wife was, oh my God, oh, she was a beauty. Potiphar, do you know this? Do you think these people are just, you know, what do you mean? The guy, he left his garment. He knew. Joseph had understanding. If he did not have understanding, he would not say, when I die, carry my bones. Don't leave my bone here. He knew. Don't forget that he inherited the place of the firstborn. And we'll touch on it. So he had the firstborn vision. He knew.
Glory.
He knew the hope was set before him. It was nothing to him. It was not what he missing. Glory, hallelujah. Blessed are they that endure temptation. I tell you, this is to be taught of the Lord. Read this thing. See what has been promised. I tell you. Nobody will need to beg anybody, be holy. Any form, in Revelation 14, when the overcomers were shown, he said, these are they that were not defiled by women. We're not given to any form of fornication. Now, fornication is significant. Hitting on, number one, fornication is any form of defilement, spiritual defilement or whatever, and even down to the physical one. But if anyone has fallen to any of that, as you have heard this, you have a new lease of life. Amen. Move forward in that strength. The former things are passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. Arm yourself with this knowledge. Have the throne before you. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. We have seen the tree of life, a crown of life, exempting you from the hurt of the second death. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him that conquers, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah.
We can't go very much inside this, when we begin to consider the manna, the coriander seed, the wafers, honey, the fresh oil, and the appearance of the manna, which is delium, lest we would enter another stream. But we would touch some things. Now, the manna is God's sufficient word for every situation. Just on manna now, not eating manna. The manna is God's sufficient word for every situation. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 tells us something. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It says, so.
Sorry.
Okay. 8, 3. It's okay. Take your time. Actually, don't take your time. He said, and he, oh my God. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's sufficient word for every situation is the manna. It's described as bread from heaven. I mean, Psalm 78 verse 25 refers to it as angel's food, as divine ministration, angel's food. You know, if you look at Psalm 78 verse 25, it says, man did eat angel's food. He sent them meat, you know, to the full. And then if you look at John chapter 6 verse 31. Now just take, I'll pick some verses from there. Just to, so we can have an idea of what the manna is. It is. It says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So, the manna, Jesus also described it as bread. Just establishing that that is clear. He gave them bread to eat from heaven. Jump to verse 49 of this same John chapter 6. Just so we can be clear, just this is our little point. It says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Okay, verse 58. We can go through this more diligently later. He said, this is that bread which cometh down from heaven. Jesus was talking of himself. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall do what? Live forever. So this is just giving us an idea of the manna. It's God's word. You know, that divine sustenance that takes man away from any other external physical sustenance, which is his word, and sustains him. No physical thing sustained Israel in the wilderness. We have the money. Money is good. The Lord will bless us with money. Money cannot sustain you. What do you mean? Money? We have not seen anything. In the, God, do you know what the riches of the Egyptians are? God converted it in one night. Gave to Israel. Not one of that kobo or doll or cent sustained them. Their clothes were growing on them. Their shoes were growing with them. He gave them divine preservation. Nothing of the, all the riches, it was useless as to their sustenance. God allowed that to happen to show you that money is not, it's not about money. The manna that came from heaven is the sustenance. Now, when this manna fell, there was a manna that the Lord commanded Moses to pack inside a censer and keep it in the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know where that Ark of the Covenant is? In the holiest of all. Anybody that enters there, his head is speaking with thunder. If you are not permitted, only Aaron. And even the high priest enters there with fear and trembling. So, for someone to really enter and eat that manna, to enter the purpose of putting, to eat the manna, Jesus is saying, he said, I will give you the hidden manna. The hidden manna speaks of, number one, of the uniqueness of every individual. It speaks of your uniqueness. As much as God is talking to us as a body, but he made it very individual here. He said, as you eat of the hidden manna, you shall have access to a white stone, of which on that stone, a unique insignia, inscription is given to you. No man knoweth it but you. Your husband cannot tell you what it is. Your wife cannot tell you. You can't tell your children. They can't tell it to you. You have to know it by eating, as you have access to the hidden manna. It speaks of a specific designation that will be given to each individual, irrespective of the general call. It is found right inside the Ark of the Covenant, in the holiest of all. This means that to access it today, one has to be found there in the most holy place. There are dimensions of God as you continue to stay steadfastly in the holiness of all. Even today, God begins to reveal to you specific things. Specific, whether it's assignments, whether it's, you know, dealings, whatever. I'm just saying that we can begin to have portions of it. It's not just limited to them. Specific things that are unique. He says, you receive a white stone, and in it is inscribed a name that no man knows, only him that receives it. It was given to Paul. He received a call. He said, when I received this one, in fact, I didn't know anybody that could answer it for me. He went and waited on the Lord. When God pleased him, who separated him from his mother's womb and called him unto the Gentiles. This is to say that there's a uniqueness about each and every one of us. Don't ever be carried away by the crowd and think that you are just one of a number and that you don't matter. As you feast on the Lord, as you continue faithfully, be found there in the holiest of all. Now, I'm talking about this irrespective to now. Of course, this has greater imports as we see the fullness of it. I believe that is where specific things. This is just, I don't like to give examples about these things, lest I don't want to reduce the glory. But maybe, just so we know that, you know, maybe you, you Yinka just receives his white stone and he's only, he's in charge of all the, all I don't even know, all the planetary systems and other things alike. But it's a unique identity, a unique call. And I will not go into it, but it is also in sync, it's linked to the little book in Revelation 10. He told John to eat it. That after you eat it, he knew. He said, you shall yet prophesy to many nations. We can begin to have our hidden manna experiences. Remember, it is found in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we are not entering these things. To really eat this up, we should normally start from the, as Jesus begins to talk to the churches. But I said we are just skimming through these things, so that we can have what? An idea. So that we can better appreciate things as we go forward. Praise the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 2 verse 6, 26. Whoa. I didn't want to leave this out. Revelation chapter 2 verse 26. Number 4. He said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
Go down. And
and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. But as we are going through these things, brethren, adding this indeed exceeding great and precious promises. And are these things worth us pressing on to the end? Notice that for this particular one, he did not just say to him that overcometh, but that to him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. The word works there is ergon, which means business. He that overcometh and keepeth my business unto the end. So that, and of course, the keepeth, if you check it there, is terio, which means to carefully, to attend carefully to or to guard my business. You remember in one of the Gospels, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I do not know why Jesus added this, for this was the only of the promises he added, he that overcometh and keepeth my works. I keepeth my works to the end. And I believe it is not by accident. So, we can see keeping the business of the Father as our faithfulness to his church here on earth. As we have heard thousands of times, we all have a place. Both overcome, the general overcoming, and keepeth my business faithfully unto the end. Him will I give power over the nations. Power over the nations. That word there, I think I wrote it down. Yeah, the word there for power is the same exousia, which is authority, and can speak of governmental authority over the nations.
Hallelujah.
I believe that one, the saying in itself, is self, you know, explanatory. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, I will give you power over nations to uproot, yeah. to plant, to do this one, do that one, do that one. But the core, this is one of the promises the Lord has given unto us. To exercise authority, not just as headbound, you know. Of course, we can begin to eat portions of it, like we said, now, and exercise. But we shall have complete power over all nations, ruling in righteousness. The Bible says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Rulership. He said we will smash it with a rod of iron. As a potter's vessel is smashed to shivers. Exercising judgment on nations. Very key. And that is why this comes after this. Indeed, people who walk here, life, they have to have come into life. That is, receive that promise of immortality, tree of life, crown of righteousness, so on and so forth. Even when we are, when we begin to consider matters of eternal judgment, the resurrection of the dead comes first. And of the resurrection of the dead, no? Yeah. Eternal judgment and then perfection. You know, it matters of judgment. It's not for people who have, it's not for people whose head has been totally sown and infiltrated with Black Lives Matter. It's not for that. Because judgment is impaired. He said it is a rod of iron. The men only have the mind of Christ. When you see David executing some things, do you know some people read the scripture, read David, and they don't want to be Christians? What kind of person? He said he was a monster. Killing anyhow, including women and children. That is breaking the rules of warfare. You know, you have broken the rules of you have gone reckless warfare. You see a pregnant woman and you slay her. If you were to look with the outside eye, you say, this guy, you know, if David wants to use, oh, that's a pregnant woman. But this guy's heart, look at Ezekiel 9, or is it 11, when judgment came. He said the men with their slaughter weapons. He said, go into the city and slay. If Levi, when they were slaying their brethren for executing judgment for the fornication, that you see, these things can sound, you know, in a very it can sound interesting, but when matters of divine judgment, it's not with any human mind or reasoning. They are men of steel whose minds are after the Father, doing the bidding of the Father, exercising because God is just, and he who gave the commandment is not unjust. Power over the nations, given to rule over nations, have governmental authority. This is part of the high court. Look, when you have this insight, you know, you will be wholly committed to the work of God.
Hallelujah.
He said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works, keepeth my business to the end. How do you treat the house of God? How do you treat fellowship? Some people, you know, have not physically had COVID-19, but they have had it spiritually. They have COVID-19. Oh, fellowship is not meeting in person. Few people. You on your Zoom, and you enter the kitchen and just be doing things. And Zoom is on. Commitment. Your attitude towards the house of God. These things, they will answer in time to come, in days to come. And we will know. Let me tell you, we will know ourselves.
Oh, yes.
We will know ourselves.
Oh, yes.
If you are languishing somewhere as a, you know, a gate man in there, we will know you. We say, he used to be a very vibrant brother in those days. Look. He says, to him that overcometh. We have to order ourselves. Why have we given ourselves to this way, to this call, if we are not ready to follow it to the letter? He says, O city of God, glorious things are spoken of us. In light of these glorious things, how have we ordered our life, our conduct, our bearing, our lives as individuals, moral lives, spiritual lives, attitude towards the house of God, attitude towards the Lord's people? If you have not carefully tended his house, his people, how do you want to carefully tend the nations
How? A man who cannot take care of his home, keep his home, how can he keep the house of God? Also, a man who cannot keep the house of God, how does he want to keep the nations? You just sit down and just wait. Divine judgment is one of the highest calls and honor. If you enter even to angels, you judge them. Ruling as principal powers, royalties in the heavens of God. Total, complete dominion over all the works and creations of God. If something is happening, what do you mean? You need to just set something in Jupiter. You just go there and fix it up. It sounds like film, but we have not believed cunningly devised fables. We have a more sure word of prophecy.
Oh, yes, we do.
We have a more sure word of prophecy.
Oh, yes, we do.
Do you know the import of that? We will stop here, but let me hit on that. We have a more sure word of prophecy. In that 2 Peter that we read, 2 Peter, the same place that we are hitting.
16.
Yeah. Verse 16. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I've been talking to someone before, and the person told me, you know, this thing is just, it's cooked up. He says, Sam is a poem. Somebody just wrote it, you know. Somebody cannot just write it. Because even the unbelievers who compile these things will show you they are dated. So you will see the time spacing between each of the books that we have, you know, in the Word of God. And when we see some mind-blowing accuracy, agreements, even to things that are taking place today, you cannot but hold it infallible. You see, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Do you know what that is? He says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He says, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. I know somebody that is, people that tell me, maybe you see, if I have encounter, I will believe more. Jesus, this guy, he saw Jesus with his eyes and figure. He heard it was not a spiritual voice. The voice spoke, they heard. They saw Moses and like, what kind of encounter is more fantastic than that? He said, we were with him. You are receiving by witness. The baton is, we were eyewitnesses. Peter saw that kind of thing. He left from there and denied Jesus 3 times. It's not by encounter. If you are waiting for encounter that will change you, no encounter is greater than that. It's not by encounter. But even Peter, even with all this kind of encounter, he called what we have a more sure word of prophecy. My God, how can that? It doesn't make sense. Verse 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto what? A light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. This is more sure. What does it mean? Whereby the light, he said, it is unto a like a light that shineth in a dark place. God, he says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now note, he did not say God had commanded light to shine into darkness. God came, he saw darkness, he took the seed of light, went underneath the darkness and planted it there. And then commanded the light to shine. He says the darkness comprehended it not. That's what's happening within you. The light has been shined. It has been planted within. It says it will grow brighter and brighter. It is more sure. Because as you give it to you, you are seeing it grow. It's expanding. You are seeing territories in you being displaced by that light. As you follow on, you are seeing things that you were inclined to drop in. Desires changing is a more sure word. Even after that fantastic experience, somebody still denied Jesus 3 times. After that, that kind of experience, how is that kind of experience, after that kind of experience, you still denied him 3 times? So if you are waiting for Jesus to come in, to walk into your room and say, "My daughter, I am Jesus. Yes, I'm the one." Then your life will just take a spin. Encounters are good. Encounters are good. You know, but we have a more sure word. And he says, "Thereunto you take heed, as unto a light. You wake, arise, O shepherd, trim your lamp. Take heed, tend that light. It should shine brighter and brighter." I tell you, what has been planted in you, darkness cannot comprehend it. It is bound to grow. That's why if you are not even working with it, the least you would experience is just an uneasiness. Because you know that there's something that is planted in you that cannot be aborted. So it will shine until it breaks open this earthen vessel. Isaiah saw it. After Isaiah praised God, he prophesied, got to 27. He said, "Oh Lord, thou art my God." He said, "Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." He began to enter a time of praise. 26, he spoke what is one of the foundations of our belief. Paul referenced it when Paul said, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Death is swallowed up of life. Isaiah picked into it in 26 and spoke it. A light that shineth in a dark place. It is more sure than any fantastic encounter. It's a more sure word of prophecy. So you take heed to it. All these things that we are doing, the preaching, church, everything that has to do with salvation, it was summed up. It says, the sum of the matter is fear God and keep his covenants. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. If all is said and done, the fear of the Lord is not there, the keeping of his commandments is not established in our hearts, then we have missed it.
That's it, totally.
It is a more sure word of prophecy. No matter what, the struggle is there because he's working. In medicine, you say, I took drug, I became more sick. Yes, the drug is working. They say the drug is working when you have, I don't even understand how that thing works. You say you have to be more sick to get better. But here we are, no, this one is not more sick to get better. But I'm just saying that when you begin to see struggle, when you begin to see your belly, your inward parts being made bitter, you know there's something there that is not agreeing. That thing has been planted in your spirit. Your spirit is created after Christ in righteousness and true holiness. He said, if Christ be in me, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in me, that same spirit that raised up Christ is able to quicken my mortal body. So the old man, the man there is not your body. Man is not your soul, it's your spirit. So when we say the old man is crucified, that means the deeds of the body disappear. No. Not so. The old man is crucified. Your spirit has been set free. And then you can walk with the Lord. To choose, daily choose right and hate the evil. Choose the, he said, butter and honey shall he eat. If Jesus was choosing right and hating the evil, who are you? So I just came here. Jesus that came, bread of heaven, that came down from heaven. He said, butter and honey. Isaiah said, butter and honey will he eat until he learned to choose the good and hate the evil. For the curse has been set upon Mount Eba, and the blessing upon Mount Gerizim. We must choose that mountain, Gerizim, where the blessings of life are found. Let every man that has this hope in him purify now himself as Jesus, as even he is pure. We stopped at power over the nations. I really did not hope to see the bubble would continue, you know, just touch on the other two. I'm not going in depth into that stream because it will take us, it will just take us out of scope. But just touching it so that we can have an idea of these things. We can have a focus and touch on more things as the Lord permits, and then we move forward. You are glorious, so glorious in your way. Oh, you are glorious, so glorious in your ways.